Star Market Celtics Tonight continues our conversation with the head coach, brought to you as always by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. You know I'm a student of your media gaggles, your media gatherings. Is it safe to assume that any question that begins with safe to assume is not going to end well? Like, you're not going to get an answer from that?
I don't know what you're referring to. I can't remember. I've been through a couple of media interviews already today, but the bottom line is that I understand each question that needs to be asked. And I think people that lead with that probably know the answer, but I understand that they have to ask. So I'm certainly appreciative of everyone's job responsibilities in this.
I find it funny that no one's caught on about the starting lineup thing, that you don't have to reveal it before the game is kind of the point. But let's get to the issue of the day, which is obviously Gordon. And how is he? And I'm asking more emotionally with everything he's been through than, you know, his ankle.
Yeah, I think struggling is the right answer. You know, he put in a lot of time and effort to have a great season. He had a great season and, you know, up to this point. And so to go and get hurt in your first playoff game, you know, after a great little run of health that we had here in the bubble, you know, it's very frustrating for him and certainly a challenge for us. But, you know, we really feel for him. And at the same time, we have to move on and make sure that we're, you know, having our whole team replace him by committee. He does a lot for us that doesn't get talked about. And so we're going to have to, everybody's going to have to elevate their play. And that goes from the guys that play 38 minutes a game to the guys that play four.
Well, if nothing else, you have a pretty good sample size of games you played without him, even forget 2 years ago, just talking about this year. Is that the blueprint, or it's almost 6, 7, 8 months removed from that? Has this team changed so much that isn't one?
Yeah, I think the blueprint actually changes a little. That was too easy.
No, that was. I make a mistake like that once every 5 or 6 years. You should jump on it.
When we show this, do we show the Zoom part, or do they just do it over the radio?
I'm going to actually make a request that this be shown so people could see how vindictive you really are. But no, please go ahead and answer. You know, anyway.
You'd have to get a mask.
It's safe to assume I'll find a way to make this work.
Yeah. Okay. Your question was about something that I don't remember. All I remember, it was about some blueprint.
I know. You were so excited that I finally had a tongue tie after all these years together.
This is
like seeing an eclipse, that you lost your concentration, which doesn't bode well for the task ahead. But nevertheless, the question was about the blueprint of playing without Gordon early in the year. And does that still apply all these many months later?
Yeah, I mean, some of it, but most of it would depend on who we're playing. I think that ultimately they're playing different than they did earlier in the year, Philly. And they played us really different than most teams that we played without Gordon. So it's a little bit different. I think we also have to take into account that some of our younger players have improved and maybe able to give us a spot here or there. You know, I've told everybody that's not, you know, one of our guys that plays a lot, like you got to be ready to play anywhere from nothing to a long stretch. I mean, it just kind of depends on how the game's going, what the matchups are, what's advantageous for us. And, you know, I appreciated both Ennis's contribution and Grant Williams' contribution the other day in very, very limited minutes. What they did was, you know, they made plays that changed kind of the tone of the game, especially those kickouts off offensive rebounds. And even though we only scored on one of them, it really changed kind of the way the game felt. And so, you know, we need that kind of, you know, addition when we go to our bench.
Those did not get discussed. And here's something else Max and I just talked about that rarely gets discussed. Early in the year, and I think this is sort of a forgotten part of the season, as good and spectacular in some nights that Jason Tatum has been, early in the year, offensively, we both felt he was kind of struggling to find his place, trying to redo the shot selection. A lot of things he didn't seem completely in sync. But defensively, he was so good early in the year, and I think that contributed to the plus-minus numbers and the net rating numbers when he was on the floor. Defensively, nobody discussed it, but man, he was so good in game one.
He's unbelievable. And him and Smart were just ridiculous with their activity on and off the ball, you know, with the ball pressure when their guy had it. And then just their team awareness off of it. So whether it's digging on the post off of a post feed, whether it's just being in the passing lane to discourage a post pass. Again, we have to guard the post with five guys. We're not going to be able to guard Embiid with one person. We're not going to be able to guard Horford with one person. We have to make sure we guard the post with five guys. And that means every dribble and every pass that leads up to the moment it gets into the post needs to be hard, because if it's not, then they catch it deep. They catch it deep, we're dead. And so I thought that those two in particular had a huge impact on the way the game was on the way we defended as a whole the other day.
And one of the things those two guys and a lot of guys you have do very well defensively is talk on that end of the floor. Eric Spoelstra brought this up before the Miami game yesterday, and it became interesting to me about one of the things you get with this home visiting nonsense we talked about is getting to choose which end of the floor you're on and how he wants to be on a certain end of the floor so he can have the bench on the defensive end in front of him in the second half. Are you more aware of the talking? Is that become a bigger part or a more significant decision with or without fans in the environment you're in?
I think that the idea of being vocal and communicating as a team is really important. You can tell when your team's engaged and when it's not. There were a couple of long timeouts the other day where, Sean, I swear you could have heard a pin drop in the place. There was no music, nothing. If either of us would have been loud in our own respective huddles, the other team would have heard it. Like, it's just so interesting in that regard. But, you know, just like Spo may want the defense in front, we want to be able to shift people around offensively. So we actually choose the opposite, but to each his own. And it makes a lot of sense either way, because I think the ability to communicate is certainly elevated here. And if you're willing to communicate and you say the things and you listen, then, you know, you can be a real advantage.
When was the last time you coached a game where you were concerned that the other team could hear what you were saying at a timeout?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I've ever been really concerned. They probably would. It probably wouldn't help, you know. It probably would be like, I'd just confuse everybody. Nobody really listens anyway, so it's all good.
So there's no blueprint for that is what you're saying?
There's definitely not a blueprint.
Yeah, I figured. That's the head coach. Game 2 is next on the WROR Celtics Radio Network.